Well, good morning once again. You know, about 2 years back, a hashtag trended across social media. Transformation Tuesday. It was a day dedicated throughout the entire week. Tuesday was dedicated to a time where people would look back through sometimes like photos in their phones or different stuff like that, and they'd come up on a picture from years back, and they'd post that picture with right side by side. They'd post a picture of themselves today, and they talk about how things had changed in their lives, and it was this like opportunity to celebrate the way that you've bettered yourself. Today, I want us to look at a transformation, but I want us to be transformed today. So as we go about looking into God's Word, I hope that you won't wait for a Tuesday. I hope you won't wait for a certain day of the week, but I hope that you'll commit to transformation today. And so as we look, in Romans chapter 12, we go back to where we started in this series. We go back to where we began this study, looking at the way that God has transformed the lives of men and women throughout Scripture. We've looked at those like Moses, like Ehud, like Gideon, like Esther, like Mary and Joseph, like Paul. All those who God has transformed and worked in amazing ways. And I started this series and I challenged you. I challenged you to not just look at the ways that they were transformed, but to be challenged in the way that God is going to transform you. And so as we're on the last week of this series, as we're winding down, the trees are dying, they're losing all their leaves. I've made Henry and Richard crazy with the way that these leaves have just been dropping. We come to the end of this series, and the question for us today is, what's your change? What are we going to leave this study with? As we've looked at pieces and stories from the whole Bible, what is going to be your change? And don't let it be a transformation that comes in a someday form. One that says, you know, someday I'll make this change. Someday I'll be transformed. Maybe on Tuesday that'll be the day. I want you to take a look and today choose. What's going to be your transformation today? It's expected that there will be a change in your life because of following Jesus. It's expected that your life will look different. So the question is, what's your change? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I want to invite us to read this passage of Scripture together. It's one that we've looked at for a while. It's up here on the screen. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." What's your change today? I want you to know that as we see this change happening in our lives, as we see this transformation today, it stems out of a great God that we serve. We started 9 weeks ago looking at that first word, this idea of therefore. and what in the world it's there for. Because God is so good, because God is so great, because of what the Lord has done, we owe him the sacrifice of our lives. We've realized that. We've found that. We know that we need to be changed because of who Jesus is. We owe God our all, and that means that our lives will, in fact, be changed. But what I want us to realize today is this isn't just a decision for this morning. This isn't just a decision for yesterday. This isn't just a decision for this week. This is a decision for our lives. A decision to be absolutely transformed, to be nothing like we were before. A caterpillar doesn't go back into the a butterfly doesn't go back into a cocoon to become a caterpillar once again. When it is transformed, it's transformed to stay. It's changed for good. A decision to give your life to Jesus, to follow God with all you are, isn't a one-time decision. Stone, a decision to follow Jesus isn't a dunk and done. It's a walk every day. It's steps to take. And it's something to be excited for when we're excited for you. What Paul says in the book of Romans is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what we see when we look back into the language that this was written in is that this is an active choice to live out. The tense that this is in, are you ready for this? Is present passive imperative. And on and on and on. And for most of that, most of us, that doesn't mean a thing. Maybe there's someone in here that's like actually studied Greek and is like, oh, I know what present passive imperative means. Maybe there's somebody in here that loves like grammar, like the English language, just breaking it down. And you're like, oh, okay, I get what some of those words mean. I get that. But for most of us, I've told you guys before, Greek wasn't my like strong suit. It was like interesting, cool, not like A+ student in that. So I need your guys' permission to talk about this for just a minute. So you guys can either make the sermon today really, really, really short, or you can hear me just blabber on. So do I have your guys' permission to talk about Greek for just a second? Okay, good. You guys got yourself into this. The first part, this idea that it's passive. This is one of the truths about that is both comforting and frightening. These ideas of being conformed and being transformed are these passive verbs. That the fact of what's being said here is that when you're doing either one, it's not you that's really doing the work. And like I said, that's both comforting and frightening. It doesn't take a lot of work to conform. We're people, we like being a part of a group. We like being part of a party of people. We like being together. And in this world, when we're encouraged to be alike, this idea of conforming comes naturally. We want to fit in. We want to go with the crowd. We want to, as in Rome, do as in Rome. We want to follow all those things. We want to be a part of those people. And it just comes and kind of slips into this pattern of conforming to the world. The same thing happens with transforming. It's almost the reverse of that, that this transformation is happening in your life. You allow it to happen, but it's not you doing the transformation. And that's something that's freeing, I want you to know. When you're being transformed by God, by His Holy Spirit, it's not you that has to do the work. Really, when transformation and change happens, it is God at work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that's taking over and transforming us from the inside out. It's comforting because you don't have to be good enough to transform. You don't have to be good enough to transform. You don't have to have all the right answers. You don't have to know all the right programs or press all the right keys to be transformed. God's Holy Spirit, He can do it. He just asks that you allow Him to take control. One of the first things you learn when you play acoustic guitar, simply how to strum. My brother, when he taught me to play, sat beside me, and I had the guitar on my lap, and the neck went out, and all he had me do for the first like three times he was teaching me to play is just to sit there and strum. He pressed all the keys, he got all the right strings on all the right frets, and it was just simply strumming. Allowing him to take control of what the music was going to sound like, but simply learning how to strum. It's what God asks us to do. Is keep on taking steps, keep on walking, keep on growing. I'm gonna work in you. There might be times where I press some buttons. There might be times when you don't know what I'm doing on the other side, but keep taking steps. Keep walking, keep learning, keep trusting where I'm leading. Choose to allow Him to take control. But like I said, that great release can also be the most frightening. We want to be in control so badly. We don't want others telling us what to do, what to think, what to say. We want to be the captains of our own ship, and we have to realize that we must become less and He must become more. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." Trust Him. Lean into Him. Submit to His authority. In Sunday school today, we learned a little bit about what submission was. And I want to just go ahead and share that with you guys. Submission. Putting yourself under someone else by choice with a happy heart. Three parts to that. Putting yourself under someone else. Acknowledging that someone else is higher than you, has more authority than you, has more control than you. Putting yourself under someone else by choice. Submission isn't very effective when it's by force. Submission involves choosing to be under someone. And the third part can be kind of hard sometimes. With a happy heart. Choosing joyfully, celebration, to say, God, your will be done. The other part of this breaking down these words, being conformed and being transformed. It's this case that says it's present imperative, which broken down when we think about it, it's like, okay, those are some neat words. But present imperatives means that it's not something that has been done, but it's something that is being done. This is why when we see it in our English translations, it says, be transformed. A command to do something that was in the past tense. Be transformed. It's saying that this has to be a decision made, but also a decision carried on and lived out now and in the future. This is why in Paul says in the book of Philippians, Philippians 3, chapter 12, he says, not that I've already obtained all of this or already have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. It's amazing that Paul can say that. It's amazing that he can take that step, that faith to say that, guys, I don't have this all figured out, but I've chosen to be transformed by God. And that means that I made this choice, but I'm not done. I am being transformed by God. God is not done changing you. I don't care how long you've been out this. I don't care how many memory verses that you've memorized or Bible studies you've been to. God is not finished with you. There are two options at work here. Either you're transforming or you're conforming. That's why in James chapter 4 it says, submit once again. Once again, put yourself under by choice with a happy heart. Submit to God. Flee from the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This idea is almost put on a line here. It says, hey, flee from God, or flee from the devil, and he's going to flee from you. You're taking steps, you're drawing near to God, and he's drawing near to you. It's going in this straight line. But there's an inverse to that. Notice the devil didn't flee until you flee from him. Guys, the scary part is that Satan's at work. We see that in synagogue shootings. We see that in the news as ministers are falling for moral reasons. We see that in families as they're being broken and time again how we see that Satan is at work. And so we have a choice to either be transformed by God or conformed to the pattern of this world. So what's your change going to be? Because you're going to be changed. Are you going to transform? Are you going to be transformed by who God is? Because the good news is, when you choose to be transformed, it always trumps what Satan's doing. When you choose to flee from the devil, he's going to be running. When you choose to be transformed by God, when you choose to draw near to God, he will draw near to you. You see, those who Paul is talking to, the Romans, and also those in James, when he writes to those churches, as William Hendricks puts it, these people are both saints and sinners. These people aren't perfect. That goes for the people they're writing to, that goes for James, that goes for Paul, that goes for Peter, that goes for anybody that you put in that sentence. They're not perfect. I don't want to shock you here. I'm not perfect. Carolyn will tell you. I'm not perfect. but thank the Lord that he is transforming me. What that means is, like these people that are being written to in the first century, we still have work to do. We still need to be participants in being transformed, being changed into the likeness of God. I want to ask you today, how many of you still need to be transformed by God? I'm going to be one of the first ones to raise my hand. How many of you need to be transformed by God? We each need to be transformed. We each have work to do. We each have things in our life that needs to be transformed. One thing I want to invite you to end this day. There are 7 different stations out in the foyer. I want you to commit to a transformation today. We all know that we need to be transformed by God continually. And there are steps out there, whether in your life you need to commit to spending daily time praying with God, communicating with him. There's ones out there to make a decision like Stone did today to be baptized. There's one out there to commit to a body of believers, to submit to a group that says, hey, I'm going to be part of this group that as iron sharpens iron, I'm going to commit to sharpening one another and being a part of this. There's one out there that says, I'm going to get involved in serving Christ. Ones that say, I'm going to commit to being a part of the mission of Christ here and around the world. There's one that says, hey, the way that God needs to transform me is he needs to make me courageous to go and ask for one more person that I can lead to Christ. There's one that says, hey, I need to commit to getting God's word into my life. And so there's one that's going to take you through 5 books of the Bible by the end of this year, reading just 1 chapter a day. The question today is, what's your change? How are you going to transform today? And I pray and I encourage you to go out there and grab one of those little cards, whatever that may be for you, and be transformed today. Will you pray with me? Lord, transform us. God, we are not perfect. We are, honestly, God, for a lot of us, we could say we're not even close. But Lord, you are, and that is so amazing. God, transform us today. Let this day be a turning point in our lives. Let this day be a day that we choose to let you take control. Let this day be a day that we are transformed. God, for whatever you have us do, whatever you have us commit to, God, whether it be for those who need to take this day to commit to praying with you every single day, Lord, I pray for them that they will be steadfast in that commitment. God, for those who today need to make the decision to be baptized, Lord, I pray that you will work in their hearts and encourage them. God, for those who today need to choose to be a part of a body of believers, I pray that their membership will be in your church. God, I pray today for those who need to commit to getting your word into their lives every day. That the chapters they'll read from now through the end of this year will be an encouragement to them, and that they will grow in that. God, for those that you're putting on their hearts that they need to commit to being a part of the mission of your church, both here and around the world, Lord, encourage them and let them dream big in those things. God, for those who you're calling to be involved, God, spur them on to be a part of the work that you're doing in this body. And God, for those who are committing to one more person, God, make them brave, make them courageous to go out and commit to bringing one more person to Christ. Lord, we love you. I pray for your church that as we go out today, we'll have the courage and the charge to commit to one of these things, to commit to a transformation today. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.